Hi, everybody. This is Connie Francis, and you're listening to my good friend Mike Miller on the Harmony Street Show.
It's Johnny Mathis, and you're listening to my good friend Mike Miller on the Harmony Street Show.
Hi, everybody. This is Trini Lopez, and you're listening to my good friend Mike Miller on the Harmony Street Show.
Well, I saw a little girl walking down the street. I said, that's a girl I would like to meet. I walked over to her, looking my best. Introduced myself, she did the rest. Rock on, yeah, 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 rock on. I said, hey, 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 baby, 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 rock on. She opened the front door, shook her head. I thought for a moment she had something to dread. She said, no, no, honey, just come on in. We'll get this party rolling. Something to dread. She said, no, no, honey, just come on in. We'll get this party rolling about 10:30. Rock on. Yeah, 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 rock on. I said, hey.
Hi, this is Mike Miller, and you're here with me on the Harmony Street Show, and I am thrilled, and it's my pleasure to have as my guest, pop legend, and at this point, an icon in our music business, Mr. Trini Lopez III. How are you, Trini?
Hello, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing great, and I really mean it when I say that I've interviewed a lot of people in the time that I'm doing this radio show, but I'm really thrilled to have you on because, you know, you've been there through my whole musical career and through my life, and it seems that you've always had a hit. You've always been there.
Well, thank you. I've done enough CDs. I've done enough albums, that's for sure.
I know that, and I don't think too many people realize how much you've recorded because a lot of guys, they go into the studio, they have their hit, they're done, they go and they live off their hit or they perform, but you're probably the way I am. I like it as much in the studio being creative or just rehearsing or singing in front of 10,000 people or singing in front of a small crowd. It's all good.
All good.
I'd like to go back to the beginning now. You were born in Dallas.
Born and raised.
Of course, born and raised. And I read somewhere that your family was pretty poor growing up, and that you actually had moments when you were singing in the street and grabbing a little cash for your family. Is that true, or is that just an internet thing?
No, that's true. That's true. I would be on my way home from school, and I would have my guitar and my gunny sack.
Wow.
I couldn't afford a guitar case. My mother made me a gunny sack to put the guitar in.
Wow.
And I would be going by a particular corner in on my way from school, on my way to my house.
Right.
In this ghetto, I was born and raised in a black and Mexican ghetto.
Wow.
And there would be some old men playing dominoes and stuff. And after they saw me 2-3 times, they said, hey kid, he says, come over here, you know. And I would walk over, and they said, what have you got in that gunny sack? I said, I have a guitar. Because they could see the neck. They could see the neck sticking out.
Right.
And I said, a guitar? I said, yeah. And I was only like 9, 10 years old.
Wow.
And they said, can you play that thing? I said, yes, sir. He said, well, play us a song. So I said, okay. So when it came to singing, playing my guitar, I was never shy with my music, never.
Right.
I would sing a song or two or three, and they would end up giving me $5, you know.
Wow.
And then I would come home, and $5 to me in those days was a lot of money.
You bet.
And I said, Mom, look what I've got. And I would give her the money. She said, where did you get that money? I said, well, I was singing and over here in the corner.
Wow.
And they gave me this money. I said, oh, my God. She couldn't believe it. And so that was the beginning of my singing around my neighborhood, besides singing in school.
Yeah, well, she knew you were onto something, and I'm thinking to myself now, $5, you can't even buy good guitar strings now.
Oh,
so
no.
Now, Trini II was a singer and a dancer and an actor as well, so you had it in your genes, I think.
Because of my father, he was a musician, and I think it's a hereditary type situation.
Oh, yeah.
And my mother had a very nice singing voice, too.
Right.
Yeah, so I think that's how that happened.
To be out doing it that early, you know, it's one way to develop your craft. I know I started playing guitar very young, and I had a group, of course, when I was 15, and I was playing in clubs and bars when I was 15, and the cops would walk in, and we would hide, and I would get home like 2 in the morning, and my mother would yell at me. My father would say, leave him alone, he's making money. You know, so.
That's the same situation as me. By the time I was 14, 15, I had a little combo. And the same thing that you just said happened to me, too.
Right. No, I understand. And I believe me, you know, I went to college and I went and I did. But music was always my love. And so I always did it on the side. And, you know, I had limited success. You know, I hear some of my stuff back on the radio. But I remember asking my father one time for some money to record, and he said, I don't have money for that. You know, you want to go to school, you want to do that. And I actually signed a contract with MGM Records when I was about 17.
Oh, wow.
with a group. And the first thing that we promoted was a flop, and the guys in the group said, this is never going to work. They didn't realize. But I also flunked out of college my first year, and my father almost killed me. And so I decided it was better to just do the music on the side, you know. But you actually dropped out of high school, as I understand.
Yes, I had to quit. I was getting ready to start my senior year.
Right.
And my dad really needed financial help. So he said, do you mind if you just go to start working steady instead of school and working after school?
Wow.
I said, if you can do that, I really would appreciate it. And I said, sure, Dad, no problem. So I finished my junior year.
Right.
And then I never went back to finish my high school education.
Wow.
But that's okay, because I started concentrating more on working regular work. I used to do everything. I used to be a bus boy. I had a paper route.
Wow.
I had all those things. I did all of that. And then I used to work as many as 16 hours a day.
Right.
In Indiana and Ohio and Michigan, picking tomatoes with my family, all of us, my brothers and sisters.
Wow.
Yeah. And so I did everything. But I think that gave me a lot of character, you know?
Yeah, but, you know, some people, you know, they want to be in music, they're talented, they can play the guitar, they can sing and whatever, but the way I understand it, your planets were lined up beautifully because I understand in 1958 you were actually an acquaintance of Buddy Holly. And that led you to actually get a foothold in the music business. And, you know, not everybody can write that kind of a story. Can you tell me about that?
There were three people that tried to help me with my career.
Right.
That third one was the one that I hit jackpot, Frank Sinatra.
Wow.
But prior to Frank Sinatra in the 50s, I didn't meet Sinatra until 62, 63.
Right.
But prior to the 60s, the first person that tried to help me when I used to sing in this very nice nightclub in Dallas, it was a private club, his name was Willie Shoemaker.
Uh-huh.
Remember him?
You're not talking about the jockey.
Yeah.
Wow.
Famous jockeys in the world. And he used to come in there with his wife. And after seeing me two or three times, he said, I'd like to help you, kid. I said, when you get off work here, I'm going to call New York. I said, if you don't mind, he says, please come out to my house with my wife, and I'll call a guy named Jack Spina, who was very famous for being Pat Boone's personal manager.
Wow.
Yeah, and Pat was already having hits, and he was real popular. At that time, he was nearly as popular as Elvis. And so he called, and he put me on the phone with him, and I could tell that the gentleman in New York, Jack Spina, was only being cordial on behalf of Willie Shoemaker.
Right.
Nothing materialized, but he was the first one that tried to help me. And then a little later, another year or two later, I met Buddy Holly in a little town called Wichita Falls, Texas.
Uh-huh.
He was promoting one of his songs. I think it was That'll Be the Day or Peggy Sue.
Right.
One of those songs. And he saw me. I was appearing in a little nightclub in Wichita with my own group. I always had my own combo, you know.
Right.
And he liked me a lot. He says, I'd like for you to meet my record producer. I said, oh, my God, are you kidding? He said, no. He said, you're good. He says, here's his name, and if you can get to Clovis, New Mexico, I'll never forget. If you can get to Clovis when you finish here, come out with your group, and maybe we can record you.
Right. And that was Norman Petty?
Norman Petty.
Okay.
Yeah. And unfortunately, Norman Petty turned out to be a redneck. He was very prejudiced because I grew up, Mike, with a lot of prejudice in my life.
Right.
In the South, they used to treat the blacks.
Right.
And the Mexicanos were treated as bad as the blacks.
Wow.
Mexicano people like me.
Wow.
And so that didn't materialize. And my guys in my band also got very jealous and this and that, and that didn't work out. So I had to start another group. So now I'm working. I never stopped working. And mainly, by this time, I'm singing all the time. I'm singing at the best places in Dallas, making $700-$800 a week.
Wow. Yeah.
It was in the late 50s.
And that, listen, people were living off of $200 a week in those days and living well.
Yeah. And I was making $700-$800 by myself.
Wow.
And then I would pay my guys in the band. I was the manager, I was the lead singer, uh-huh. and all of that. And then, by the grace of God, you know, it was meant to be that I come to Hollywood, because I always wanted to come to L.A. Since I can remember, because I knew that showbiz to me was in L.A. or New York, and I never liked cold weather. So I wanted to come to Los Angeles. And, you know, Buddy Holly gets killed, and after he died, the guys, I met the Crickets, his group, the Crickets.
Right.
And they liked me. They liked my singing and my band and everything when I was in Clovis, New Mexico, getting ready to do some instrumentals, because the guys in my band got so jealous. Then he wanted me to sing, and he was my band.
Wow.
It was my group.
Wow.
Then it opened his combo. And they wanted to change the name, and you're not going to sing anymore. I said, well, who's going to sing? He said, we're all going to sing.
Uh-huh.
I said, well, you guys don't know how to sing.
Right.
I knew that. They were good musicians, but they didn't know how to sing. So I went through all kinds of rigmarole with them, and I ended up going back to Dallas and starting another group. And then Buddy gets killed, and then the Crickets call me and said, hey, we're going to go on the road. We'd like for you to be our lead singer.
Wow.
And so that's why I went to Los Angeles in the first place. Well, that didn't materialize either. That didn't materialize because they were just partying and drinking like crazy. I was never a drinker.
Right.
And they were just having a ball, and they weren't interested in getting on the road, and I needed to help my parents.
Right.
I needed to help them financially. So so I told their manager if he can get me a job somewhere singing with my guitar, and he did. And I was booked at a real nice nightclub in Beverly Hills, in the heart of Beverly Hills, California. And I was booked for 2 weeks, and I ended up staying a whole year.
Wow.
And he was there. He was there that I started getting a big following. And then I kept hearing about a place called PJ's. And that's where I used to hear that Sinatra used to go to. So now I go. They wanted me. I didn't even have to audition. They wanted me to work there. And they gave me a 3-month contract, and I stayed a year and a half.
Now, before you got there, you cut a couple of records before that with your old band. Now, none of those records charted, right?
None of them did, no.
Yeah, because I'm talking about a tune, The Right to Rock.
Yeah, that was the first song I wrote.
And that's an original of yours.
Oh, yeah.
Not a
cover.
Bye-bye. Read the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. Bye-bye. It's all down there in black and white. Bye-bye. It ain't wrong to rock, we've got a right to roll.
Bye-bye.
Let's bop, baby, let's rock, baby, go, go, go. Cause we've got a right, yeah, 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 the right to roll. Right to rock, the right to roll. Rock, rock, rock and roll. Constitution and the golden rule. I'm a real gone Willie and nobody's fool. It ain't wrong to rock, we've got a right to roll. Papa baby, rock, rock, baby, make it cool. Cause we've got a right, yeah, 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 the right to roll. Right to rock, the right to roll. Rock, rock, rock and roll.
Rock, rock.
Read the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. Need you, honey, loving, I need it tonight.
Papa.
It ain't wrong to rock, we've got a right to roll.
Papa.
Have a ball, that's not all, it's our night. Cause we've got a right, yeah, 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 the right to roll. Right to rock, the right to roll. Rock, rock, rock and roll. Constitution and the golden rule. I'm a real born Willie and nobody's fool. It ain't wrong to rock, we've got a right to roll. Papa baby, rock, rock, baby, make it cool. Cause we've got a right, yeah, 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 the right to roll. Right to rock, and the right to roll. Rock, rock, rock and roll.
And so now I'm at PJ's, and I started seeing Sinatra come in with his group. He always had a big group with him. And he liked me. He liked my show. He saw me 2-3 times and offered me an 8-year recording contract on Reprise Records.
It doesn't get better than that.
That was his new label. He had just started that label. And he had Dean Martin on the label and Sammy Davis Jr. and Bing Crosby, everybody. But they weren't selling any records at that time for some reason.
Yeah, but you know what the best thing about being with Reprise was? You had Don Costa, who was the best of the best.
he's the one that approached me and said, I'm here on behalf of Reprise. And I said, oh, Sinatra's label. He said, yeah, you know the label? I said, I sure do. He said, well, we'd like to give you a record deal. And so they signed me up for 8 years. And the first place he said, we're going to record here. I said, here? He said, yeah, here at PJ's. And I thought we were going to go into a studio like everybody else.
Right.
And he said, no, we'd like to record you here first.
Uh-huh.
And I said, may I ask you why you want to record me here? He said, because we want to put on wax all of the excitement that you are creating here at PJ's. We want to put it on wax.
Right.
And so I said, oh, okay, well, that makes sense. So I said, after this, can we go into the studio like everybody else? He said, yeah, you got it. I said, okay. Well, little did I know, Mike, that when that first album came out, I had like 6 or 8 international hits.
Right. Well, you know, that's one thing that I wanted to mention, too. And, you know, that became off of that album. I mean, If I Had a Hammer, that song was such a happy, lively tune. And that kind of became your signature, you know, that live sound,
yeah.
Excitement. You can almost hear glasses clinking in the background. You could hear people smiling, if I can put it that way.
I've never heard that expression before, but that's very true.
Yeah, you know, that kind of a thing. And that kind of became your signature, because most of the stuff that people have heard from Trini on the radio, it kind of invites you, because it's got that live sound. It doesn't have that cold studio sound. As a matter of fact, nowadays when they record digitally, the sound is crisp, but it's cold.
Oh.
It's not warm.
You're right. You're absolutely right. I can tell you're a good musician, by the way. I can tell by your expressions and your words. That's great.
I'm very into the doo-wop thing. I started with that. I've been in every genre, and I've had a couple of hit groups, and I sang with a hit doo-wop group, and I still MC shows, and I still produce, and I still have a bunch of guys. What I do lately is, if they're flying in, like they're going to have a show up in Fort Pierce in February, and they're flying in Eugene Pitt from the Jive 5, and my guys are going to be the Jive 5, because it's really less expensive just to fly in Eugene. But if we have 4 or 5 guys, we better sound like the record, otherwise people are not getting their money's worth. So we're well rehearsed, and you know, we know our stuff. But that's how that is. I still love to stay creative.
Everybody should keep trucking, you know.
But let's get back to Trini. So If I Had a Hammer, bam, live sound goes to number one. I'm sure Sinatra was happy.
Oh yeah, he was so happy that not only was If I Had a Hammer number 3 in America, but it was number 1 in 38 countries,
right,
that I counted, looking at the Billboard and Cashbox magazines.
In the morning, a hammer in the evening, all over this land. I hammer out danger, I hammer out a warning, I hammer about the love between my brothers and my sisters, all over this land. I ring it in the morning, ring it in the evening, all over this land. I ring out danger, I ring out a warning, I ring about the love between my brothers and my sisters, all over this land. Song. I sing it in the morning, sing it in the evening, all over this land. I sing out danger, I sing out a warning, yeah. I sing about the love between my brothers and my sisters, all over this land. Got a hammer, and I've got a
sing all over this land. Time around justice, it's the bell of freedom. It's the song about the love between my brothers and my sisters. Ah, all over this land. Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, all over this land. All over this land.
And then they came back to me and said, we'd like to do another one here.
Right.
You had such a success with La Bamba and... Michael Roy, you bought it, sure.
Right.
Michael Roy, the boat ashore. Hallelujah. Michael Roy, the boat ashore. Hallelujah. Sister, help to trim the sails. Hallelujah. Sister, help to trim the sails. Hallelujah. Michael, row the boat ashore. Hallelujah. Michael, row the boat ashore. Hallelujah. The River Jordan, chilly and cold. Hallelujah. Chills the body, but not the soul. Hallelujah. Michael, row the boat ashore. Hallelujah. Michael, row the boat ashore. Hallelujah. River is deep and river is wide. Hallelujah. Milk and honey on the other side. Hallelujah. Michael, row the boat ashore. Hallelujah. Michael, row the boat ashore. Hallelujah. Michael, row, pull that boat ashore.
Songs and internationally, I had about another five or six. Wow. Goody Goody and Green Green and
right.
This Land Is Your Land and on and on. And so I said, another album here? He said, yeah, just one more, just one more. I said, okay, so they called it More Trudy Lopez. and out of there, I had Kansas City. There was a big hit out of that.
Right, album. Right.
Oh, let's go to Kansas City now. I'm going to Kansas City, Kansas City, here I come. I'm going to Kansas City, here I come. They got some crazy little women there, and I'm gonna get me one. I'm gonna be standing on the corner, 12th Street and Vine. I'm gonna be standing on the corner, 12th Street and Vine, with my Kansas City baby and my bottle of Kansas City wine. Well, I might take a train, I might take a plane, but if I have to walk, I'm gonna fly there just the same. Yeah, Kansas City, here I come. There and I'm gonna get me one. Well, if I don't leave that woman, I know I'm gonna die. Gotta find a brand new baby, and that's the reason why. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Kansas City, here I come. They got some crazy little women there, and I'm gonna get me one. All right.
dig a plane, but if I have to walk, I'm gonna fly there just the same. Yeah, Kansas City, here I come. They got the crazy little women there, and I'm gonna get me one. One more time. If I don't leave that woman, I know I'm gonna die. Gotta find a brand new baby, and there's a reason why. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Kansas City, here I come. They got the crazy little women there, and I'm gonna get me one. Yeah, yeah. They got the crazy little women there, and I'm gonna get me one. One more time. They got some crazy little women there, and I'm gonna get me one.
And for you, it was easy. All you had to do is get up there and do what you always do, you know.
And it was another big hit. So now Sinatra wants to meet me, and I never met him before. I used to see him come in.
Right.
And I was too shy to approach him, so I said, well, just look at him, you know. Uh-huh. Sinatra has always been my idol all my life, since I can remember.
Right.
Since I was a kid.
Right.
And so now he wants to meet me. He was making a movie at Warner Brothers Studios in Burbank.
Right.
And he wanted to meet me, so he was making a picture called For Texas. It was a movie that he
was
doing.
Right, I remember that.
Yeah, yeah, with Deborah Kerr, you know, the beautiful
Asian
actress, and Dean Martin, and Ursula Andres, and all these
right.
people. And so I met him, and he was so nice, and he became my mentor. I was his protege for 36 years.
Wow. And not too many people can say that because, you know, it was very hard to get close to Sinatra. A lot of big stars wanted to and couldn't. And, you know, that's a great thing. That's why I say the Trini's planets were lined up pretty well. You have to sometimes look back over your career and say, you know, I got to pinch myself because things happened to me that didn't happen to a lot of other people.
Yes, yes, sir. And I must tell you this in regards to your thought about that.
Right.
My secretary, Aura Lee Walker, she has just finished my life story, which is going to come out probably this coming summer.
I was going to ask you that, you know, where's the book? Now, I spoke to Aura Lee a few times, and she is, let me tell you, she is the greatest representative for Trini because she is such a sweetheart on the phone, and she is your protector, and she's terrific.
She's my best friend.
Wow.
She's been with me for over 20 years.
Wow.
And we're going to call my book By the Grace of God.
Wow. And yeah. Then you know what's going to happen after the book, don't you?
No.
The movie.
Oh, I hope so.
The movie.
I'm hoping, Mike. I'm hoping.
Not everybody who is a pop star and reaches that level gets to have their own signature guitar. Let's talk about that because I'm a guitar player and I think that's very important.
Oh, thank you. In about 1966, 1967,
right.
I was really riding high with my hips. And Gibson Corporation from Chicago at that time, they're now in Nashville, Tennessee.
Right.
But Gibson was in Chicago and I was appearing at the Palmer House, a beautiful hotel in the best hotel in Chicago at that time. And they approached me and they said, Mr. Lopez, we sure would like to have you design a guitar for us. And I said, oh my God. I was elated.
Wow.
So I did that and the guitar came out and it was a big success. And then I thought because the guitar that I planned to help design, was a full body, big sound guitar.
Right.
I always play big chords and on my songs. Always play big chords.
Right.
I was never into too much lead playing, but
right.
I liked rhythm a lot.
Right.
Rhythm has been one of my fortes. So anyway, so I said, you know, I think we should do a thin body, what I call a rock and roll model for Gibson.
Right.
for the young guitar players, and they loved the idea. So that came out, and this guitar, the second one, it's a standard Gibson guitar, ES 335.
Right, that's the double cutaway, right?
Yeah.
I know it.
That guitar is being played by Sting's guitar player, Paul McCartney's guitar player,
right?
Bono's guitar player, you know, from U2.
Right.
And on and on.
Well, you know, as far as guitars go, and, you know, there were a lot of choices out there, I got very friendly with the Ovation people because I lived in Connecticut, and my pictures hang in there at Ovation, and I got a bunch of them and whatever.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, it's great, and I've been playing since I'm a kid and all of that stuff. But, you know, everybody has, like, different taste when it comes to guitars and, you know, feel and this and that. I remember I went to buy a 50th anniversary Stratocaster, and I walked into the music store, and I played probably about 15 of them until I got the one that I said, yeah, this is the one, now let's tweak it a little bit, whatever. Because, you know, they're all born differently, you know, each one of them. But I will say that as a guitar player, your sound, you have the hollow body sound and the electric sound all built into one, because that full sound, that full rhythm sound is really what your sound is all about. Now, I'm going to ask you a question that you've probably not been asked. Did you ever use a 12-string on a gig?
Yes, I did. I even recorded a couple of hits I always have enjoyed a 12-string sound on a guitar.
Me too, because it's full.
Acoustic, of course. Even used it once or twice with a pickup, electric.
Right.
You talk about a big sound. Yeah. And Michael Rowe, you brought ashore, was Lemon Trees. I use 12 strings for those.
Ah, see.
Now I was just a lad of 10. My father said to me, come here and take a lesson from the lovely Lemon Tree. Don't put your faith in love, my boy, my father said to me. I fear you'll find that love is like the lovely Lemon Tree. Lemon Tree, very pretty, and the lemon flower is sweet, but the fruit of the poor lemon is impossible to eat. Lemon Tree, very pretty, and the lemon flower is sweet, but the fruit of the poor lemon is impossible to eat. Beneath the lemon tree one day, my love and I did lie. A girl so sweet that when she smiled, the stars rose in the sky. We passed the summer lost in love beneath the lemon tree. The music of her laughter hit my father's words from me. Lemon tree, very pretty, and the lemon flower is sweet, but the fruit of the poor lemon is impossible to eat. Lemon tree, very pretty, and the lemon flower is sweet, but the fruit of the poor lemon is impossible to eat. Wait. One day she left without a word. She took away the sun, and in the dark she left behind, I knew what she had done. She left me for another, it's a common tale but true, a sadder tale but wiser now, I sing this song to you. Lemon tree, very pretty, and the lemon flower is sweet, but the fruit of the poor lemon is impossible to eat. Lemon tree, very pretty, and lemon flower is sweet, but the fruit of the poor lemon is impossible to eat. Lemon tree, very pretty, and the lemon flower is sweet, but the fruit of the poor lemon is impossible to eat.
I kind of figured it out, you know, because I'll tell you, I love it too. I'm looking for a good 12-string guitar now. The only problem with that is keeping it in tune.
I know. That's kind of hard to do, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But that's fabulous. Also, getting back to all of the things that you've recorded, I mean, you've gone in every different direction. Now, when I lived in Connecticut, I had a neighbor that lived in Reading, Connecticut, all right? And also my group, Harmony Street, was lucky enough to be the entertainment at Bill and Hillary's White House Christmas party in 98.
Wow.
And this particular person who happened to be at that party was one of my neighbors in Reading, Connecticut. I'll tell you his name in a minute. I walked up to him at the White House and I turned him around and I said to him, "You never say hello. I always see you, and you never say hello." And he goes, "Who is that?" Now I'm going to tell you who it is.
Okay.
Jose Feliciano.
Well, the reason he didn't say hello, he couldn't see you.
Exactly. But he says, "Who is that? Who is that?" And I told him, and he laughed, you know, because I always used to say that to him. "What's the matter with you? You never say hello."
That's funny.
But what's funny, the reason I bring him up, though, was that you being, for the roots that you came from,
yeah,
you could have very easily become one of the Fania All-Stars or whatever, whatever. And yet, if you listen to the cross-section of music that you've done some ethnic stuff, which you can consider ethnic flavor. But you've also done, you've rung all the bells in every direction, the ballads, the up-tempo stuff, the ethnic stuff as well, not just the Hispanic stuff, but in other areas. So pretty much, Trini Lopez is not pocketed like some other entertainers are. If you take a Jose, people would say, yeah, but he's, you know, he comes from that ethnic place in his delivery all the time. And I could list a bunch of other people that do that. You didn't do that. You covered all the bases and rung all the bells as far as all the things that you've recorded.
Well, thank you, Mike. I've always liked variety in music.
Right.
Always, yeah. Always.
I mean, you did, you know, the Michael tune, of course, which, you know, is dear to me, you know. The Bramble Bush. Now, wasn't that a movie?
Yeah, that was from a big motion picture that Sinatra told me to leave the movie, otherwise they would have had a bigger part. Uh-huh. The Dirty Dozen.
The bramble bush is lovely, it thrills you with delight. The flowers on the bramble bush are all so pink and white. But if you reach to pluck one, as sure as you are born, the bramble bush will stick you with its prickly thorn. And the pretty girl is like a bramble bush. Yes, a pretty girl will thrill you very much. Oh, a pretty girl is like a bramble bush, but you'll get stuck if you should touch. Huh! The girl I fell in love with was such a lovely sight, so beautiful to gaze upon, so soft and pink and white. And as I reached to kiss her beneath the summer skies, I was so much in love I didn't realize that a pretty girl is like a bramble bush. Yes, a pretty girl will thrill you very much. Oh, a pretty girl is like a bramble bush, but you'll get stuck if you should touch. Ha ha! The summer soon was over, and autumn chilled the sky. The flowers on the bramble bush began to fade and die. And with the faded flowers,
My true love traveled on, and I can feel the thorns now that my lover has gone. 'Cause the pretty girl, yes, it's like a bamboo bush. It's a pretty girl will thrill you very much. Oh, a pretty girl, huh, is like a bramble bush. But you'll get stuck if you should touch, oh, the bramble bush. Yes, the bramble bush. Oh, the bramble bush. Yes, the bramble bush.
That was the name of the movie.
Right.
A Dirty Dozen, starring Lee Marvin and Charles Bronson and everybody.
Oh, we all know that one.
Yeah, yeah. And they wanted me to sing a song in the picture.
Right.
So I told the writers that if you could write something similar to Lemon Tree, something similar to Michael Roe, You Bought a Shark, because those were hits for me at that time.
Right.
So they wrote a song called The Bramble Bush.
Right.
I think it's a real good song.
Right. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Now, I heard a rumor that they killed you off because Sinatra said, hey, you know, you need to go out there and continue to record. So,
yeah.
And the movie was going to take a longer time to film.
Yes, it took, my contract was for 4 months, and I was there 7 months, and the movie was not even half completed. So, so Sinatra had just married Mia Farrow.
Right.
And he came to London to work on a movie he was going to do there.
Right.
And he invited me to dinner, and so I was leaving his home after dinner. He had a flat, a real nice flat, across the street from the American Embassy in London.
Right.
And as I was getting ready to leave his apartment, he said, by the way, he says, I understand your film is running really late. And I said, yeah. He said, I heard that. And he said, I think you should go back to your career. I think you should leave the film.
Yeah.
And I looked at him, I said, really? He said, yeah, I think so. I said, okay. So he had three attorneys get me off the film.
Wow.
Yeah. And I went back to my career and more hits.
You know, now that we're talking, I'm going to have to go back and watch the movie again for the 10th time.
Yeah.
And actually watch much more closely.
Yeah.
You know.
I was supposed to be one of the heroes in the movie.
Right.
But because I had to leave the film... they of course, you know, I was the first one that got killed.
Oh, no.
Yeah, right.
Well, you know, and of course, you wound up doing Vegas for quite a while, you know, I mean, because that's, I guess, where people go. You know, there are two schools of thought. One is you go all over the country and you see the people, and the other one is you go to Vegas and you let the people come to you.
Oh, yeah. I worked in Las Vegas from the get-go.
Right.
My first engagement, I think it was late 63, my first engagement was at the Flamingo Hotel, and my opening act was Bill Cosby.
Wow. Yeah, well, you know, Bill Cosby was loved by everybody. Guys liked him, girls liked him, blacks liked him, whites liked him. I mean, you know, he was just everybody's person at that time, and he was really funny.
Oh yeah, he was very talented, you know.
Yeah.
We were there for a whole month.
Wow.
We used to do two shows a night, 7 days a week for a month.
Right.
And he opened the show for me. He did about 20 minutes, 30 minutes.
Right.
And he was my friend at that time, you know.
Right. Oh, of course. You know, why not? Hey, listen, I was going to say, did he ever invite you back to his room? But I figured I won't go there.
No.
But I just did.
If they're all American, you know.
Oh yeah, well, you know, and Vegas. So let me think. 63. People were coming and going then in 63. I know because a lot of people made it their home. I know, and I have a lot of friends that live in Vegas. Little Anthony, Mary Wilson. You know, quite a few of them stayed in Vegas.
Oh yeah. That was the place to go and work, and I used to go to Sinatra show all the time with the Red Pack, and he used to come see me, and I used to go see Elvis, and he used to come see me. A lot of fun.
Tell me about Elvis.
He was the nicest, one of the nicest artists I've ever had the pleasure a meeting. He lived a half a block from my house here in Palm Springs, where I am now.
Wow.
Palm Springs, California.
Right.
He was my neighbor, and he was such a nice fella. Oh, he was great.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Very, very friendly. Very down to earth. That's why I liked him. He was very down to earth.
How many hours do you want?
Oh, okay. I don't have to have it. Okay.
Just hold it up on the fucking That's good.
I got some. I'm all shook up.
Everybody's entitled to one stupid ass mistake.
You should have one in there, man. Should have one in there that you can use.
Yeah, you know, well, it was sad what happened to him, but you know, he was so much in the limelight, he became so big, and I would imagine that for a lot of people, that's like really hard to handle, you know.
A lot of people cannot handle big success like he did. A lot of people cannot handle that, and so and then he got into the drugs and everything, and that didn't help.
Well, I know a lot of people that live on what they call the best coast, which is California. They say, you know, it's not the West Coast. It's the best coast.
I never heard of that either.
Yeah, but I have a lot of friends out there. As a matter of fact, Mel Carter is a good friend of mine. I talk to him all the time. He lives out there. And Lenny Welch.
Oh, yeah.
Lenny Welch just moved to Florida. He was out there in California. Johnny Mathis, of course, I'm friendly with, and, you know, he tragically, his house burned down not long ago.
Johnny Mathis' house?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, this was about 3 months ago, his house burned to the ground.
Oh, I never heard that before.
Yeah.
I never heard of that.
Now, do you know, did you see the movie Jersey Boys?
No, I have not.
Okay.
Did you see it?
Yes, the kid that won the Tony for Jersey Boys and starred in the movie as Frankie is a good friend of mine. His name is John Lloyd Young. He lives in California. I'm involved with him a little bit, and he's a really sweet kid. The problem is he's played Frankie for a good 8 or 10 years, and now he wants a career on his own, and he's now, you know, he's starting to sing more. Not the Four Seasons stuff, different kind of stuff, you know, because you can get pocketed and all of a sudden, you know, then you got a problem.
This gentleman you're speaking of, he portrayed Frankie Valli in the movie?
Correct.
Oh, uh-huh.
Yes, he did. As a matter of fact, he won the Tony for playing Frankie on Broadway. And when Clint Eastwood decided to do the movie, he chose John Lloyd Young to play Frankie because he thought he was the best one to have done it on Broadway. You know.
Listen to this.
Yeah.
In the 60s, when I was at PJ's, all the higher echelon of actors and actresses in Hollywood,
right,
what they call the Hollywood royalty, Clint Eastwood was doing Rawhide, and he was playing Rowdy in the TV series.
Wow.
And he used to come in and hang out there all the time, including Steve McQueen, Paul Newman, Sinatra, everybody.
Wow.
Yeah, those were fun times.
Well, yeah, you know. Now, so basically, this is now your 71st album. Now, I mean, you know, when people think about that, that's a number that, you know, there are huge stars that haven't recorded 71 songs. You're now talking
album.
About 71 albums. I'm saying to myself, that must have involved several different producers, several different labels, several different bands. It's all good, but it's all Trini. Trini, having gone from producer to producer, you must have worked with quite a few of them.
Oh, yes. I have worked with so many of them. And the album that I sent you, that's my latest, Trini Lopez, Into the Future.
Right.
That's my 71st, and I just finished recording my 72nd.
Wow.
Hey, drink up, all you people.
anything you see. Have fun, you happy people. The laughs and the drinks on me. Try to think that love's not around. Still, it's uncomfortably near. My poor heart ain't gaining any ground because my angel eyes ain't here. Angel eyes that old devil sent, they grow unbearably bright. Need I say that my love's misspent, misspent with angel eyes tonight? So drink up, all you people. Order anything you see. Have fun, you happy people. The drinks and the laughs on me. Pardon me, but I've got to run. The fact's uncommonly clear. I've got to find who's now the number one and why my angel eyes ain't here. And why my angel eyes ain't here. Excuse me while I disappear. While I disappear. While I disappear.
My funny Valentine, sweet comic Valentine, you make me smile with my heart. Your looks are laughable, unphotographable, yet you're my favorite work of art. Is your figure less than Greek? Is your mouth a little weak when you open it to speak? Are you smart? But don't change a hair for me. Not if you care for me. Stay, little Valentine, stay. Each day is Valentine's Day. My funny Valentine, sweet comic Valentine, you make me smile with my heart. Your looks are laughable, unphotographable, yet you're my favorite word. What is your figure less than Greek? Is your mouth a little weak when you open it to speak? Are you smart but don't change a hair for me? Not if you care for me. Stay, little Valentine, stay. Each day is Valentine. 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 Valentine's Day.
Going to be something very different for me. I've never done this before. We're calling the album me and my co-writing friend and producer, we're calling it Trini Lopez, all original songs.
So you're writing as well?
Yeah. I don't write songs that often, but we wrote 18 songs.
Wow.
And I've got all kinds of music in there, rock, blues, reggae, all kinds of music.
In a stream, falling leaves of sycamore, moonlight in Vermont. I see finger waves, ski trails down a mountainside, snow light in Vermont. Telegraph cables that sing down the highway and travel each bend in the road. People who meet in this romantic setting are so hypnotized by the lovely evening summer breeze.
the warbling of, the warbling of a meadowlark. That's moonlight in Vermont. I see finger waves, ski trails on a mountainside, snow light in Vermont. Telegraph cables that sing down. And travel each bend in the road. People who meet in this romantic setting, or so hypnotized by the love, lovely evening summer. The warbling of a meadowlark. Moonlight, moonlight in Vermont. You and I and moonlight in Vermont. Moonlight in Vermont. I love you in Vermont.
I'd like to ask you this just from a creative point of view. Do you have a set bunch of musicians that you've worked with all these years that are your backbone musicians?
Yeah, I did for a long, long time.
Yeah, because I'm interested in that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, you get to know people that that are really excellent. And at one time, listen to this, at one time I even had Glenn Campbell do a lot of my sessions.
Glenn was a genius.
Oh, yeah, he was great. He was a very talented man, and he still is. You know, I just wish him all the best.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable. Here's a question that nobody asks you. What is your favorite Trini Lopez song?
I have to tell you the truth. I have several.
I knew you'd say that.
Yeah. A lot of people would say La Bamba, because that was a big hit.
Right.
A lot of people would say If I Had a Hammer, because that was a big hit.
Right.
And on. But I just, Mike, I just like to sing. I love to sing. I love to create. And all of them are my favorite songs.
And that's great.
lonely. You cry the whole night through. Well, you can cry me a river, cry me a river. I cried a river, I cried a river over you. Sorry for being so, so untrue. Well, you can cry me a river, cry me a river. Drove me out of my head. While you never shed, never shed a tear, never shed a tear. I remember all that you said. You told me love was too plebeian. Told me you were through with me, and now you say you love me. Well, just to prove that you do, come on and cry me a river. Like a red and ruby chalice, warmer than the summer night. The clouds were like an alabaster palace, rising to a snowy height. Each star its own aurora borealis. Suddenly you held me tight. I could see the midnight sun. I can't explain the silver rain that found me, or was it a moonlit veil? The music of the universe around me, or was it a nightingale? And then your arms miraculously found me. Suddenly the sky turned pale. I could see the midnight sun. Thank you.
was there such a night? It's a thrill I still can't quite believe. But after you were gone, there was still some stardust on my sleeve. The flame of it may dwindle to an ember, and the stars forget to shine. And we may see the meadows in December, icy white and crystalline. But oh, my darling, always I'll remember when your lips were close to mine. And we see the midnight sun. And we see the midnight sun. And we saw the midnight sun.
Tell me about your Nashville time, you know, because you also did a Nashville country mood as well.
I did an album called Welcome to Trinity Country.
Right.
And it was produced by a gentleman that you probably have heard of. He was he became a very popular record producer. They call him Snuff Garrett.
Uh-huh.
Have you ever heard of him?
I have.
Okay, he was at that time just getting started with Cher.
Right.
And two brothers, Johnny and Dorsey Burnett. You ever
right.
hear of them?
Sure, Dorsey Burnett. He had a big hit.
They had a lot of hits
yeah.
with Garrett, yeah. And he said, Trini, he said, I'd like to record you, and I'd like to go to Nashville to do a country album with you. I said, wow. I said, yeah, I like country music. I always like country music.
Well, it's some of the best produced, that's for sure. Those guys really know how to produce a record.
Yeah, great studios, great the recording studios in Nashville.
Oh, yeah, and, you know, I mean, because I go back to, you know, having started with the guitar, you know, I think to myself, I listened to an awful lot of Chet Atkins music, you know?
He came to my session.
Uh-huh. Wow.
People like Johnny Cash came to my session while wow. I was there for like 3 weeks.
Wow.
And Johnny Cash, Chet Atkins, Marty Robbins. In fact, Bonnie Robbins wanted to sing harmony with me in one of those songs in my country album.
Wow.
Welcome to Trinity Country, and that's one of the best albums I think I've ever done.
Wow. No, that's...
I have the Jordanaires behind me, Elvis's famous group,
right.
vocal group, the Jordanaires. And I have great musicians from the Grand Ole Opry.
Well, you know, it's like I said, Trini has done it all. He's rung every bell that needs, every little nook and cranny.
There we go.
You know, and you also did a Fresca commercial, right?
That comes on cool. Maybe it's shivering, it's freezing, with a cold and frosty taste that comes on cool. It's a pleaser, it's a pleaser.
Oh my God! Yeah, I did, and you're not gonna believe this. I did a Fresca commercial in those days, and now Coca-Cola is interested in me doing some jingles for them.
Why not?
Why not?
All you need is one little phrase, and you know you can become rich all over again.
Well, you know, as long as you're breathing, keep on trucking, man.
I'm sure you were on American Bandstand.
Oh, yeah. When I first started my career, Dick Clark was always invited me to be on American Bandstand. I even did it in Philadelphia.
Wow.
And then I did it for, I don't know how many years when he came to L.A.
Wow.
I'd like to introduce, Johnny, if I may, a man that I think probably you've watched down at PJ's, Mr. Trini Lopez. Trini, sneak over on here in the middle. Oh, it's my pleasure. You know, I have talked to so many people about you, and I stashed an album over there right down between those two things. Hey, old buddy, would you hand me that album that's stuffed down between beside your chair? Because this is actually... But let's do a little background, Trini, for a second. This is the album announced by popular demand, more Trini Lopez at PJ's. Wish you Godspeed. Good luck. You're going back to PJ's shortly, aren't you?
Yes, after I finish the Off-Broadway in San Francisco, I go back to PJ's and finish PJ's. After a two-year run.
Can I prevail upon you, because time's getting short? Would you do the latest thing?
Sure, love to.
Ladies and gentlemen, Trini Lopez.
Slipping into the future. Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future. I wanna fly like an eagle to the sea. Fly like an eagle, let my spirit carry me. I wanna fly like an eagle till I'm free. Oh Lord, won't you carry me? The babies who don't have enough to eat. Shoe the children with no shoes on their feet. House the people living in the street. Let's all do a good, good deed. I wanna fly like an eagle to the sea. Let my spirit carry me. I wanna fly like an eagle till I'm free. Please, Lord, won't you set me free? Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future. Time keeps on slipping into the future. Time keeps on slipping, slipping into the future. I wanna fly like an eagle to the sea. An eagle, let my spirit carry me. I wanna fly like an eagle till I'm free, till all eternity. To the sea, fly like an eagle, let my spirit carry me. I wanna fly like an eagle. Oh Lord, won't you carry me? Slipping
into the future. Time keeps on slipping into the future. Yeah, into the future, into the future, into the future, into the future. I wanna fly like a leader into the future, into the future, into the future, into the future. Time, 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 time keeps on slipping into the future.
He was a nice, nice person. What a nice guy.
Yeah, that's what they say. I have a sheet of paper in front of me, and it lists some of the awards that you've gotten. And I just have to say that I can't read them all because it fills up the whole sheet of paper.
That's right. Yes, sir. And I'm getting now, in about 10 days, I'm getting a Entertainer of the Year in Hollywood, Florida.
Let's talk about that. I've been there. Connie Francis is a very good friend of mine. Jack McDermott, who is her manager, is a very good friend of mine, you know. And Connie is just so sweet. She's very outspoken, Connie. Connie will say whatever happens to be on her mind, but Neil Sedaka was last year.
Right.
And the year before that was Benny King, and unfortunately, Benny passed away shortly after that, so we were lucky to have had him in the room. That is going to be a fabulous night, and it's going to be the Hard Rock Casino.
Yes, the Hard Rock Hotel, uh-huh.
The Hard Rock Hotel, and it's going to be Valentine's Day night.
Yes, sir. They're even calling it Valentine Day.
Yeah, but, you know, not only that, there will be an awful lot of celebrities in the crowd as well. Lainey Kazan will be there. Joni James will be there.
Connie Stevens
will be there. This is why I'm so sad that I had this show booked, because Paulette and I would have been sitting at Connie's table, and I'm saying to myself, well, you know, I understand, but I guess that's the way it was supposed to be.
It was supposed to be, that's all.
You know, but this is my contribution to the whole situation, is talking to you right now. A star on the California Walk of Fame, you know, the Latin Music Hall of Fame. It just goes on and on and on and on. Also, you're in the Las Vegas Walk of Stars.
Yes,
as
yes.
Are so many other people. It's amazing. And I look at all the albums, you know, Ramblin' Man, and there's an album here, 2010, El Immortal.
And Immortal, that's what they called it. I didn't call it that, they did.
Yeah.
The company did that.
I figured I had to pronounce it right. If I said El Immortal, it wouldn't have sounded right. It's like...
You said it good in Spanish, very good.
My good friend Joey D from Joey D and the Starlighters got to do this. But Trini also got to do this. You worked with the Beatles before they became famous.
The Beatles?
Yes.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. When I was just getting started with If I Had a Hammer, it was a big hit in Europe, and they had a big hit with I Want to Hold Your Hand.
Right.
And like one of those big agencies, William Morris, agency,
right.
Somebody, they thought of putting us together at the Olympia Theater in Paris.
Right.
Right there on Champs-Élysées, right in the heart of Paris.
Wow.
And we were booked for a month, two shows a night.
Wow.
And three on Saturday matinee. And we packed that theater for a month, and right before we finished the engagement, the reporters came up to me in my dressing room, and they said, Mr. Lopez, he said, you know, the Beatles are leaving tomorrow for New York. They've never been in America. Do you think there'll be a hit? And I was honest at that time with my feelings about them.
Right.
Because I used to get seven encores. I used to get two or three.
Wow.
At that time. And I said, I don't think they're going to be a hit in America. They said, really? Why not? I said, because in America there is a group that I think are better than they are called the Beach Boys.
Right.
Little did I know, Mike.
Right. They knocked everybody out. But, you know, it's like they were different. And, you know, we tend to like different. You also worked with Ricky Nelson.
Yeah. I had the pleasure of working with so many people, so many different people, so many different artists and actors too, actors and actresses. And I was just very fortunate, Mike. You know, that's why I'm calling my book By the Grace of God.
The book is finished?
The book is finished, yes.
Wow.
Yes. And my secretary said, you know, Aura Lee, she kept saying, Trini, we really should call the book By the Grace of God, but at the very top of the book, you should call it Mr. La Bamba. Everybody calls me Mr. La Bamba all over the world. I made that song international. It was a much bigger hit than Richard Valens had it at that time.
Right.
I made it world famous.
Right. No, that I know.
The book is going to be titled Mr. Trini Lopez, Mr. La Bamba, By the Grace of God.
And is it out? It's not out yet.
Oh, no. They're pressing it now. They're getting it ready now.
Wow. Well, you know, of course, you know, I'm going to ask you for a signed copy when it comes out.
Hey, you're kidding? Of course.
Yeah, you know, because Trini Lopez retired in 1981. What do you mean he retired in 1981? He probably did 20 albums since 1981.
Oh, yeah. One thing that I did kind of semi-retire, by the way, in 1981, but the phone kept ringing, you know, and I do things once in a while that are important and mean something to me, like this award I'm getting this coming February the 14th in Florida. But the only thing I really wanted to keep on doing was recording. I love to record because you don't have to travel that much, you know?
Right.
And so you're in the studio and you're creating music, and it's fun. It's great.
Oh.
The only reason that I semi-retired in 81 was because I got bored with all that traveling. I was traveling first class. Everything was first class.
Wow.
The best five-star hotels, limousines, everything. And I still got bored because I traveled so much.
Right.
I've been around the world I don't know how many times.
Right.
And so recording is a snap. You go into the studio and you record, and you go home, you come back, and you take your time, and it's great. It's great to record.
Now
that's why I have had so many albums out so far.
You did a song that from a guy that I'm going to be singing with February 20th, Jimmy Beaumont from the Skyliners. You recorded Since I Don't Have You.
Yes, that was one of my first songs that I covered.
Yeah.
When I was at a little label, when I was about 16 years old, I recorded a lot of songs for King Records.
Right.
Out of Cincinnati, Ohio. And they wanted me to cover that song, Since I Don't Have You.
Wow.
And it was number one in Dallas, my hometown.
Right. Well, Jimmy's a good friend of mine. He wrote it, you know, with Joe Rock. And when I see him on the 20th, I'm going to tell him that we talked.
I love the Skyliners. I love that group.
Oh, yeah. You know, that Jimmy's still doing it.
Anything. misery and has been here since then.
As I say, the planets were lined up very, very nicely for you. One of your favorite sayings is, it's nice to be important, but it's important to be nice.
Yes, that's my favorite saying, and I even wrote a song about that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's nice to be important, but it's more important to be nice.
But it's nice to be important. Oh, it's nice. But it's more,
but it's more.
Yes, it's more.
Yes, it's more
important.
That's one of my favorite things of all time.
All of those other things that you did, we also have the Trini Lopez International Golf Tournament, which I know about. What would Trini Lopez say to fans that were your fans at the very beginning, have followed you all through your career, and are still fans of Trini Lopez and buying your CDs? What would you say to those people right now at this stage in your life?
How much I appreciate them. How much I appreciate my loyal fans. I get emails. Mike, you wouldn't believe the emails I get on my TriniLopez.com website, and I get the most beautiful letters. It makes me want to cry.
No, I understand that. But, you know, they're well-deserved, Trini, because you've been in a lot of people's lives for a very long time, and sometimes even though you don't know them,
yeah,
they know you. You've been in their hearts, and you've been in their living rooms. It's a wonderful thing.
I think it is, and I'm very grateful, that's for sure.
Yeah, I just want to say a few more words about the Lifetime Achievement Award that you're going to get. This is going to be at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino, and Connie Francis, our wonderful Connie Francis, is going to give Trini Lopez the Connie Francis Lifetime Achievement Award. It's going to be at 6 o'clock February 14th at the Seminole Hard Rock and Casino. If you want information about that, I think you can call the hotel, the Hard Rock Hotel. If you want to know more about Trini, you can go to www.trinilopez.com.
Right.
I'm sure they can find most of what they want to know. They can write you a letter and tell you what's on their mind, probably buy a CD or two, learn more about the book. It's a wonderful thing. I really cherish the time that we've spent together because, as I say, I'm not only in the music business and have been most of my life, but I'm also a fan. I'm thrilled to have had the time to speak to you, Trini.
Thank you, Mike. You are a very special guy, I can tell. And you have asked me some questions that I have never been asked before. And I have been interviewed all over the world.
It's been great talking to you, and you have a wonderful night. Even though Paulette and I cannot be there on February 14th, you break a leg, and you have a wonderful time, Trini.
Thank you, Mike. My best to you. God bless you and your wife and your family.
Same to you.
You say I love you. Are you sincere when you say I'll be true? Do you mean every word that my ears have heard? I'd like to know, which way to go. Will our love grow? Are you sincere? Are you sincere when you say every time you kiss me? And are you really mine every day, all the time?
I'd like to know
which way to go. Will our love grow? Are you sincere?
Careful, amigo. you're flipping speech Latin, that satin doll. She's nobody's fool and playing it cool as can be. I'll give it a whirl, but I ain't for no girl catching me. Baby, baby, telephone number, you know, doing the rumba with, you know, that satin, my satin doll.
To you each morning from Kellogg's of Battle Creek. And now let's all play What's My Line?
And now the special feature of our program, the appearance of our mystery challenger, for which my friends are always blindfolded. As you know, the blindfold's in place, panel?
Yes, yes, sir.
Good. Will you enter mystery challenger and sign in, please? As you know, panel, in this case, a different form of questioning. One question at a time, in turn, moving clockwise. And we'll begin with Steve Lawrence.
Would your name in the newspaper be found in the entertainment section?
Yes.
Miss Francis?
Primarily because of your work in motion pictures?
No.
One down and nine to go, Mr. Cerf.
Do you ever, in the course of your professional career, raise your voice in song?
Yes.
Miss Kilgallen?
Do you also play a musical instrument?
Yes.
Mr. Lawrence?
Yes.
Do you make recordings?
Yes.
Miss Francis?
Are you at the present time playing in the Broadway theater?
No.
Two down, a date to go, Mr. Cerf.
Is the instrument that you use in connection with your singing a piano?
No.
No.
Three down and seven to go, Miss Kilgallen.
Is it a horn?
No.
Four down and six to go, Mr. Lawrence.
What's left?
Violin. He can't sing while he's...
Well, would you be considered a favorite with the record-buying youngsters today?
Definitely, yes. Miss Francis?
That narrows it down to about 20,000 people.
Yeah.
Are you therefore mostly known for rock and roll music?
No.
That's five down and five to go, Mr. Cerf.
Do you sport a beard?
No.
No?
No.
No. That's six down and four to go, Miss Kilgallen.
Have you recently played the Copacabana?
No.
7-3 to go, Mr. Lawrence.
Have you recently played Basin Street?
Yes.
Miss Francis?
Oh. Hello there.
Hello. Is it Trini?
Yeah.
Trini. Lopez?
Lopez?
Everybody, this is one of the first songs that I learned from my father. This is a great tune, and I've been singing this song since I was about 8 or 9 years old. I hope you enjoy it.
Qué bonitos ojos tienes debajo de esas dos cejas. Debajo de esas dos cejas, qué bonitos ojos tienes. Ellos me quieren mirar, pero si tú no los dejas, pero si tú no los dejas, ni siquiera parpadear. Malaguer, salerosa, besar tus labios quisiera, besar tus labios quisiera, y decirte niña hermosa, y decir hermosa. Pretty woman, how you tempt me with that look of promise in your eyes. But the love you wear deceives me, and your smile tells only lies. You ask for more than I can give you. Ah, well, I know you're worthy of. Your heart needs more than just a poor man. But all I've got to give is only love. Lovely woman, how I love you. That's why I sing this song for you. So please believe me when I tell you that I want you and need you so.
again. Alzaré rosa, besar tus labios quisiera, besar tus labios quisiera y decirte niña hermosa y decir decirte, niña hermosa, malagueña, salerosa, malagueña, salerosa, malagueña, salerosa. Malagueña, salerosa.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you. What a great audience you are. I love you.
it's and it serves 100 ships a day. Lonely sailors pass the time away and talk about their homes. And there's a girl in this harbor town, and she works laying whiskey down. They say, Brandy, fetch another round. She serves them whiskey and wine. Brandy, baby, baby Brandy. A braided chain made of fine silver from the north of Spain. A locket that bears the name of the man that Brandy loved. Brandy, Brandy, baby Brandy. He came on a summer's day, bringing gifts from far away, and he made it clear that he couldn't stay. No harbor was his home. The sailor said, Brandy, you're a fine, fine girl. What a good wife you would be. But my life, my lover, my lady, is at sea. Brandy, baby, baby Brandy. At night when the bars close down, Brandy walks through a silent town and loves a man who's not around. She can still hear him say, she hears him say, Brandy, you're a fine girl. What a good wife you would be. But my life, my lover, my lady, is the sea. Oh, Brandy. She hears him say, Brandy, you're a fine girl. What a good wife you could be. But my life, my lover, my lady, is the sea. She hears him say, Brandy, you're a fine girl. What a good wife you would be. But my life, my lover, my baby, is the sea.
One good thing about him, he knows how to jive and wheel. Jack and Jill went up the hill to get a pill. Jack and Jill went up the hill to get a pill. Jill said up, she wanted to learn how to jump and jive. You gotta jump and jive. You gotta whale, jump and jive. You gotta whale, jump and jive. You gotta whale, jump and jive. You gotta learn how to jive. You gotta jump and jive. You gotta jump, jive, jump. You gotta jump and jive. Jump and jive. Jump and jive. Come on, everybody, you gotta learn how to jump and whale. You gotta jump and jive, gotta learn how to jump and jive. You gotta jump and jive, jump and jive, jump and jive, jump and jive, jump and jive. You gotta jump and jive. You gotta learn how to jump and jive. Yeah.
Were like a red and ruby chalice, warmer than the summer night. The clouds were like an alabaster palace, rising to a snowy height. Each star its own aurora borealis. Suddenly you held me tight. I could see the midnight sun. I can't explain the silver rain that found me, or was it a moonlit veil? The music of the universe around me, or was it a nightingale? And then your arms miraculously found me. Suddenly the sky turned pale. I could see the midnight sun. Was there such a night? It's a thrill I still can't quite believe. But after you were gone, there was still some stardust on my sleeve. The flame of it may dwindle to an ember, and the stars forget to shine. And we may see the meadows in December, icy white and crystalline. But oh, my darling, always I'll remember when your lips were close to mine. And we see the midnight sun. And we see the midnight sun. We saw the midnight sun. night, the whole night through. Well, you can cry me a river, cry me a river. I cried a river, I cried a river over you. Sorry for being so untrue. Well, you can cry me a river, cry me a river. Drove me out of my head. While you never shed a tear. I remember all that you said. You told me love was too plebeian, told me you were through with me, and now you say you love me. Well, just to prove that you do, come on and cry me a river. A river over you.
California trip. your kicks en route 66. Oh, do it! Get hip to this time lifted. When you make that California trip, I say get your kicks on Route 66. All right, I say get your kicks on Route 66. One more time, get your kicks on Route 66. That's the only way to travel, baby. Oh.
Open up your heart, recall how it used to be, remember all the love we found, ooh,
on Harmony Street, ooh, there was a place that we used to go, when we were feeling down. On Harmony Street.